Pressure is the nemesis of every athlete, professional or amateur. The voices in your own mind getting louder. Pressure invites self-doubt to your door. It can crush months or even years of preparation. And it happens to us all in the moments when the stakes feel like they're at their very highest. But how do you make the voices stop? How can you make them all go away? Germany's European long jump champion, Meleke Mihambo, has the answer. In front of 60,000 voices and millions watching at home, she meditates to silence them all. Mihambo's mind is blank. There's nothing. And when there's nothing, that's when amazing things happen.
Meleke Mihambo, the European long jump champion, and a second gold medal for Germany.
The German conquered Europe in Berlin 2018. A year later, she was on top of the world in Doha at the World Championships. But it could all have been so different.
The favourite, without any question, Meleke Mihambo, the European champion. Six different events this season, she has gone 7 metres or better. She would love to launch a big one in the first round. Miles behind the board, and that probably contributing to her slight disappointment with that one.
Mihambo was battling to stay in the competition after a disappointing start. She was seventh, with an opening 6.52, her best jump having seen the red flag on her second. With a third, decisive jump to come, Mihambo was staring defeat in the face. The favourite was one jump from going out early. And then came the silence. Alone with her thoughts, off camera and free from scrutiny, Mihambo went through the process of mindfulness. Suddenly, she owned that pressure. She took control.
This is last chance saloon for Mihambo. There are four women yet to jump who are behind her in the leaderboard. So although she's seventh, she must surely improve here to keep her further participation in her hands rather than having the agony of watching the four subsequent jumpers potentially push her out of the top eight. The season's outstanding performer is under pressure to deliver. Has to do something now. Oh my goodness me! Cometh the hour, cometh the favourite, cometh the potential champion. That was massive, massive. I cannot believe what we're seeing. She jumps into the top 10 of all time. 7 metres 30. That is absolutely incredible from Mihambo.
I think we've already seen the gold medal winning jump.
The European champion is the world champion.
Can she add Olympic gold to that list of achievements? From European Athletics, this is Track and Field. I'm Peter Sanderson, your guide throughout this series as we hear the inside stories from some of Europe's leading athletes as they brace themselves for the biggest challenge of their lives, the Olympic Games. This is chapter 4 of the track and field story, and now we break the silence for Meleke Mihambo, the German who's taken control of her inner demons to conquer the women's long jump. From injury problems to the pressure and expectation of home crowds, Mihambo has learned how to deal with it all and to make her the champion she always wanted to be.
In 2018, I started meditating even before the European Championships in Berlin. But I intensified it and I intensified the work with myself. So I started reflecting and journaling, meditating, and just being open to myself and accept who I am. And yeah, I just started to get to know myself. And I think that getting to know yourself is the best way to be the best possible athlete, because when I'm in the competition, I'm not there as only as an athlete. I'm there as a whole person that has its strength and weaknesses. The best way to deal with it is to get to know yourself, accept yourself, believe in yourself, and then just let your body do what it is supposed to do. And then it will work, and it will work better than if you hold yourself back for any reason. And I think that was something that was really difficult for me throughout all the time when I was a younger athlete, that I was often struggling with myself, that I was also not believing in my potential, that I was always thinking, oh, the other people are better. And if I won, it was more because I had a lucky strike, not because I'm good. And dealing with all those thoughts, like I said, getting to know myself helped me to be a better athlete.
So now that Mihambo knows herself, her strengths, her weaknesses, her character, who is she beyond the athlete we've seen dominating her sport in recent years? Where has she come from to reach this moment in her life where Olympic glory is potentially one giant leap away?
My earliest memories are when I started to, I think when I really first had my first day in a sandpit, I guess. It was when I was in primary. There was a summer school event where the local clubs were presenting themselves and you can just register and then test it out. And so I enrolled myself in the track and field program for one day. And then the coach said, hey, you're jumping great, so how about joining the regular training? And that's how my track and field career started. So every time I think about my first memories, it's that day in the summer holidays when I was about 8 years old. When I was 10, I had a new coach, and this was the coach with whom I shared most of my track and field career so far. So it held on for about 16 years, so that was quite influential. And yeah, I'm really thankful for the time we shared, for all the experiences I made, for all the knowledge I gained through his coaching, but also through his personal, like the way he was. So I learned so much and I'm happy for that. And this was quite influential. And then I'm really happy that I could end our work together with gold medal in Doha 2019. Well, I watched some, you could say only a few, because I'm really more interested in doing sports. So when I was younger, I was more interested in doing sports. Like, I don't know, it doesn't matter in which sport, if it's basketball or hockey, football, soccer, whatever. It's about doing. So I was more interested in that. And that's the reason why I spend, I think, quite less time watching track and field on the TV, even though it was my most preferred sport when it happened occasionally that I was watching TV.
Mihambo talks about her meditation and understanding her psyche on a deeper level as being something that arrived in her life relatively recently. It was at the European Championships in Berlin where meditation helped place her at the top of the podium. But even as a young athlete coming through at local meets and onto the international stage, she had a mindset that we can associate with other winners. The young Mihambo didn't even have a hero she idolized, preferring instead to reflect on herself as she strove for greatness.
I'm more person, I think I really appreciate and value all the performances in so many fields, if it's about music or sports, or if it's in the, like, if people engaging them politically or socially, this is really meaningful and great. But I always try to refer to myself and compare myself to myself. And yeah, that's the reason why I'm more interested in being the best version of myself rather than to imitate someone else or do it in their way, because I think I can only do it my way. So I try to find my personal way, my best way, the way that brings me to the best place I can be. But I think my mom helped me quite a lot, since she shaped my worldview when I was younger. And she was always telling me that I don't need to be the best, that I don't need to be in a certain way, that I just should be me. And she would love me anyway that I am. So she encouraged me always to be myself. And I think that's something that really helped me also to find my way in doing sports since I was young. Maybe I started dreaming about being the number one when I was younger, about 12. But then it were just dreams. But when I got the title in 2013 and the U20 European Championship, when I won there, I was thinking, okay, well, so now you've been the best in your age, so maybe you could also reach that point someday in the seniors, in the active, in the senior class, you could say. And yeah, that was a special moment. But then realizing that I really, really could do that, that was, in 2019, I guess, because there I was really performing well. Every competition was outstanding. And even though I struggled indoors a bit and I couldn't show what my potential was back then, but outdoors I managed to win every competition and jump 7 meters in a row. So it was like, feeling that I can be the number one that year.
For all those positive thoughts and the fine tuning of her mental approach to long jump, Mihambo has faced the challenges that can impact most athletes. Injuries and the rehab that follows means losing time in your career. It's time away from the competition, time spent healing, reassessing and rerouting the pathways to success. And that's why a bronze at the European Championships in Amsterdam in 2016 remains an achievement she cherishes, despite becoming world and European champion since.
I think Amsterdam was one of the most special competitions for me because it was the year of the Olympic preparation and everything was going on well after Tallinn and the off-season, and it started super great. But at the end of 2015, the beginning of 2016, I had patella inflammation on both knees. So I couldn't train for about 5 months. I could only do some low intensity training on the grass. So I couldn't really train at all. And I was really feeling bad for months because I was not sure if I'm able to compete in any competition at all. And so these were really exhausting months mentally. And every time I fell down, I was happy that my coach was cheering me up and trying to say, hey, everything will work out. And hey, don't let yourself down, you'll manage it. And even if you're not able to compete, everything will be okay, the sooner or later. Then in May, I was okay again. So I could start training, but then I also got myself a muscle injury. It was just a small one, but it was still again a setback. And I was like, oh no, now it's like really everything is, I don't know if I'm able to jump anywhere this year. But then there were the national championships and I was jumping something like 662 or so. And even though that I did not hit the qualifying standard, the national qualifying standard, they still nominated me for the European Championships in Amsterdam. So it was my third competition, I guess. And I was like super happy that I could compete there. And in the qualifying round, I jumped 676, which was the Olympic standard. And then I was like super happy that I managed to qualify myself for the Olympic Games, even though I was thinking for months that I probably wouldn't be there or at the European Championships. And then the next day, or the day when the final was, it was hard to get into the competition because I managed already in 3 weeks something that I hadn't thought about for months. And then it was not so easy to jump because it felt like, oh my gosh, I'm going to the Olympic Games for the first time, and that was all in my head. But still, I wanted to give my best that day. But like I said, it was not that easy. But then, well, it was an attempt. I think I had a super long attempt. I think the first one in the final round, where I was jumping about, I was jumping, I think 6:50, but it was super far away from the board. So I felt like, okay, I can jump far, but I couldn't manage to bring it on the track. But that was okay for me because I was super happy. And then in the end, getting the third place, I was really happy. I was super grateful, and I felt so happy and blessed that I was able to compete again at the European Championships and be the third one. And I got my first international medal in the senior class. So it was really, really, really special for me. And I dreamed about an international medal in the adult group for about maybe also since I was 12. So it was really, really, really important and really, yeah, really special for me. And it was super funny because the first time when I competed at European Championships in 2014, I was fourth with the same distance. And the next time I competed, I was third, but also with the same distance. So I guess that's about athletics. Sometimes you have the same distance and you win, and sometimes you lose, but it's quite distributed evenly. So one day you will win also.
After Amsterdam came Berlin 2018, and we all know what happened there. Mihambo's fortunes changed, delivering the athlete we now see heading into the Olympics with a habit of jumping 7 meters on a consistent basis.
It was a really outstanding experience for me. I was competing in my home country again, but now with a different kind of role. In 2014, I was the youngster. No one was expecting something from me, but it felt like in 2018, it was different.
And the crowds turned out in their droves to see her.
At the day of the final, there were 60,000 people in the stadium, and it was like every move that I made, every time I did anything, it felt like someone is watching me. The audience, the cameras, and then you have had 4 displays, really big displays in the stadium. And every time or every second time or fourth time, whatever, I was watching up. And I was looking up, and then I was watching myself while I was sitting, while I was drinking, while I was doing something. So it was like the audience was aware of me, or I would rather say of every German athlete that was out there in that evening, because that day we got 3 gold medals and 1 bronze medal. So it was a quite successful day for the German team. So the audience was always paying attention to the, or special attention, I would say, to the German athletes, because they were really, really in good positions. And so we're like really interesting and really interesting competitions. So I felt really overwhelmed that day. It was too much. I felt like, please, can you just look away for 10 minutes and give me some space? Because it was too much for me. I couldn't handle it.
Mihambo speaks of feeling like a stranger despite that capacity crowd in Berlin.
I was taking part in that competition, but more like a visitor most of the time, because I was just watching, oh, what are the other people doing? How are the other girls jumping? And I couldn't concentrate on just doing my sport. So it was a really tough competition, because it was the first time that there were so many people paying attention to what I did, because before that, I was always just a participant. and there was no special row behind it. In the end, I managed it to show not my full potential, because that would have been better than 670. But it doesn't matter, because it's a championship. In the end, it counts the place that you reach that day and not the distance. So even though I was maybe unhappy with the distance, I was super happy that I managed to place myself in the first place that day, because, like I said, it was one of the toughest competition I had so far.
It's here where mentality overcomes talent. It's the other side of being an elite performer. Mihambo speaks of letting everything disappear to allow the body to do what it can, and that requires a level of discipline that's hard to come by. It's the discipline of a winner. It's what delivers the winning jumps we've seen from her both in Berlin and Doha.
In some way, I try to first empty my mind, because I think it's easier to jump when you have nothing in your mind. So the last thing I do when I think about before an attempt, the last thing I do is first think about the technical advices that my coach gave me, the things that I want to pay special attention to. When I'm finished with that, then I try to push myself mentally. I tell myself that this is going to be my day, that this is going to be my best one. And then after that, I just try to think about nothing. And then I try to let go of myself so that I'm not thinking about anything anymore. And then that's ideally the point where you come into the flow, where you let go of everything about struggles, about what you technically want to do, about how the competition was going on so far, about, I don't know, everything, who you are, about university stuff, private stuff, whatever. Just let go of everything. And then I used to clap the hands, because getting the support by the audience is really something that's always energizing for me. It gives me super much energy and power, and I try to soak everything in, and full with that energy, I just try to give my best in the next attempt. Then I start to run, and sometimes it works, sometimes not, but I try it with that preparation. It's like the best circumstances I could try. I could give an attempt, so I do it like that.
Next time on Track and Field with Norwegian world record holder Carsten Warho.
It's just a very small moment there where I'm looking over at the clock, not knowing what it says, and then it switched over to saying new world record. And from that time I was like, wow, I actually made it.
You've been listening to Track and Field, a Highway 61 production from European Athletics. This episode was presented by myself, Peter Sanderson. Gary Hayes and I wrote the series together, while Gary is also our producer alongside Karina Vigo. Our consultant producers for this series are Kerry Levy, Nick Latworth and Jackie Ankerlund. Sound mixing is by Taylor Hayes, who also composed the Track and Field music. The podcast artwork and social content is produced by Matt Alabaster. Our thanks go to Christian Mills, Rob Faulkner, and everyone else involved at European Athletics for helping make this series a reality. If you'd like to know more about athletics, visit the website european-athletics.com. Please rate and review Track and Field wherever you listen, as it helps make the series more visible. And if you've enjoyed this episode, visit highway61.media for more podcasts just like this one. That's HWY61.media. Or you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at HWY61_podcasts. This has been another Highway 61 production.